Testing, testing. There we go. Clean up. When do you go to Athens? Today. Oh my gosh.
In a couple of hours.
In a couple of hours. Since you're having so much fun, remain standing. Remain standing, and we'll honor God's word as we hear it while we're standing. This morning, the first Sunday of 2025, I'm in Matthew's Gospel, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, Matthew 17, beginning at verse 5. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there with me, or the words will be up on the screen as well. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them. His face, that's Jesus' face, shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Let's pause there and pray. Father, you are good and great. You are abounding in steadfast love. So we confess that we cannot live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. You know what I mean when I say the word clutch? Now, some of you are old enough like me. You're old enough to think I'm talking about a manual transmission. Some of you don't have a clue what that even means. Clutch. Clutch has another meaning, though. Clutch means, especially in athletics, a clutch means a key person, a clutch player, a key moment or a key response, a key action at an important time in an important game. Are you a clutch player? Are you ready for your clutch moment? I think 2025, the beginning of this year, I think this is a clutch moment for you. It's a clutch moment for you, whether you're whichever church you're a part of. It's a clutch moment for you. There will be things God does this year for your church. There will be things God does this year for you that He's never done before. There will be opportunities, doors that will open, and there'll be conclusions. There'll be doors that shut forever. And I don't say that because I'm a prophet. After all, this is a nonprofit organization, right? Ha, bad joke. I should start that. That's my New Year's resolution, is lay aside the bad jokes. I say it just because it's the truth of life. It's the truth of life. You'll have conversations that are new and fresh. And you'll repeat some of the old things from the past. There'll be clutch moments for you. Matthew 17, this is a clutch moment for Jesus and His disciples. Only a few verses if you flip the page over one page, Matthew 16, clutch moment. Jesus with His disciples, and Peter is the first one to step out and say, Jesus asked the question, who do you say I am? And Peter says, I believe You're the Christ, You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Clutch moment. But this is another key moment. Up on the mountainside, just a moment, 6 days after that, clutch moment, Jesus takes three clutch players. Not everybody got this call. Clutch players, James and John, the two brothers, and Peter. Peter had a brother, Andrew. I wonder why he didn't get picked. Only room for three, right, with Jesus up on the top. I don't know why. Clutch players, key players, a key moment, and then a clutch instruction, a clutch word. You know, not a whole lot said about why Elijah and why Moses. Moses was a sign of the Old Testament law. Elijah was a sign of the Old Testament prophets. Everything God had done in the past was building to this moment, a clutch moment. But at this point, Moses kind of fades into the background. He's still important. At this point, Elijah kind of fades into the background. And to tell you the truth, because Peter just stumbles over his words, he's so awestruck, he's like, hey, we should mark the moment. We should put up a monument or inscribe a little plaque and put it here. One that says Jesus and one that says Elijah and one that says Moses. And that's a hint that Peter is failing at the clutch moment. He's not quite yet the clutch player that we'll see him be later. Because he still thinks, well, these are all one and the same. They're equal. Elijah and Moses and Jesus, they're all kind of on the same. And as if to correct him, as if to pat Peter on the head and say, you're doing good so far, but hang with me a little longer. A voice comes from the cloud. A voice comes from the cloud. It says, no, here's the clutch player. Here's the clutch moment. The voice, God's voice, the Father's voice speaks from heaven. And He's not talking about Elijah and He's not talking about Moses. The voice of the Father says, this is My Son. This is My Son. This is My beloved. I love Him. My seal of approval is on Him completely. He is the clutch player. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. There's a lot of things the Father could have said at that moment. He could have given us a long lecture on the atonement and the need for Jesus to die on the cross and be resurrected and later send the Holy Spirit. All that'll come. But in that moment, what most needed to be said and what most needed to be heard, listen to Him. 2025, I said it, it's a clutch year. It'll be a series of clutch moments, and your ability to rise and fall will rest on your ability to listen to Him. It won't rest on what happens at work, whether you get the promotion or make the sale. It won't rest on how your portfolio rises or falls. That'll bring you some anxiety. Whether 2025 is clutch, it won't depend. Thank you, Lord, it will not depend on elections. Are there any elections in 2025? I hope they're not. I hope we're done with that for a while. What happens in 2025? Whether it's clutch or not, it won't even depend. This is personal. It won't even depend on what your doctor says. Do I have a witness for that? It won't depend on medical decisions you make. It won't depend on whether that resolution... Does anybody make New Year's resolutions anymore? I don't even know. It doesn't matter whether you'll, whether you succeed or fail. It does depend on this. Will you listen to Him? New year, new word. That's what I'm calling my preaching series for the first weeks of 2025. Not because there's anything new God said, but it's a new year and there's a new fresh application, a new fresh readiness, a new fresh need for you to listen. For you to listen. Because the Bible says this, Jesus told the disciples, He says, I don't do anything that I don't tell you, my children. You're my servants, you're my sons and daughters. I'm not doing anything that I don't tell you about, that I don't invite you into. That's why it's so key that we listen to Him. There's no greater way for you to get to know God, to know His character, His nature, His goodness, His faithfulness. To know the life that He has for you apart from listening to Him. And y'all, there's not a better way to learn to listen to Him than continually opening your Bible and opening yourself to what God is speaking to you in and through the Scripture. Reading His Word, studying His Word through the Bible is the way that you will train yourself. It's the way God will train you to listen to Him in 2025 and 2026 and beyond. And I know some of you, you've heard me. I look back at my, I preached for Olive Hope Baptist Church on, I think it was the second Sunday of January last year, not the first Sunday. And I flipped back in my notebook and I was like, oh yeah, I preached to him on reading the Bible. And y'all going to think I'm a one-trick pony. But you'll only be discovering what my Good Shepherd Savannah people already know. I am a one-trick pony. I am a one-trick pony. Because it breaks my heart that God continues to speak to us. And yet many of us continue to close our ears and close our eyes. And we don't care. Maybe we think it doesn't apply. God's Word doesn't apply to us. Maybe we think it's a waste of time to read something so old and outdated. Maybe you care and you've tried in the past and you've gotten confused or distracted or bored or you just gave up. That's a problem. That's been a problem for me at times in my life. I've had the want to. I just didn't have the how to. And so there have been times, you know, this happens to people who are hungry, who want to open the Bible. It happens this first week of the new year. Maybe you started off, I'm going to get through. I got me a new chronological Bible, or I got the new, you know, what's the hot thing? Tara Lee Cobble. What's her thing called? I forget it. Bible Recap. Bible Recap, that's a hot... You'll get a few weeks of Bible Recap and then you'll wear out. You know, here's what happens. One of two things happen. You plow in to trying to read through the Bible. You start at Genesis and you plow in. And then you get... Genesis is great. That's Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham. It's all the flannel graph Sunday school lessons you ever heard. And then Exodus is Moses. And then it gets to like Leviticus and Numbers. And that's just hard stuff. And if you're laughing because you've tried it, right? If you're not laughing, you don't get it. That means you hadn't even made it that far. All right, come on. You plow through. It's hard to plow through. And so sometimes, this is my other favorite time, folks approach the Bible sometimes using the lucky dip method, right? Like, what's God going to tell me today? Oh, let's just open my Bible. Boom. There, it must be right there. And here's my favorite right here. I said I was going to get rid of the bad preacher jokes, but I'm not. So here's one fellow that tried the lucky dip method. He opened his Bible, opened up to Matthew 27, verse 5. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. He went away and hanged himself. He's like, oh no, wait, that doesn't sound too great. So I'll try again. Close the Bible, pray over, open it again. Luke 10:37, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Y'all, the lucky dip method, it may pay off every now and then. You may win the lottery every now and then, but it is not the best method. If the goal is to train you to read and to listen to Him, to hear God's voice, because we have this promise, okay? See, God meets us at the beginning here. Because the Bible, we know this, the Bible is the Word of God. It is living, it is active, it is powerful. The Bible speaks, God speaks to us through the Bible. He guides us and He protects us. God will empower you to live for Him and with Him through the words of the Scripture. God will protect you. He will guard you from temptation if you listen to the words of the Scripture. The Bible, God will use the Bible to speak His Word to renew your mind, your thinking, to channel and train your emotions, your feeling. He will build your faith. The Bible opens the door to truth. And Jesus says this, that truth will set us free. Truth will set us free. And what the Bible continues to teach us is that truth is not a proposition, but truth is a person. And the truth is Jesus Christ. So don't miss out on the truth. The regular study of the Bible is the best training. Notice, I don't just say the regular reading of the Bible, like, you know, you're just flipping the pages, like you're the latest biography or the latest novel or the latest, you know, I'm flipping pages, or click, 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 the latest news article that you're going through or blog that you're reading on the internet. The regular study of the Bible is the best training you can ever have to hear and obey Jesus. What was it, that voice, this clutch moment, Matthew 17, 5, the voice comes from heaven and says, listen to Him. Peter, great idea, building the altars. We appreciate all ideas, but we're going to wipe that off the board. Just listen to Him. Hear Him and do what He says. The regular study of the Bible is the best training to hear and obey the voice of Jesus. Choose a translation. I'm going to give you, this is again, one trick pony. Here it is. Find a Bible that has a translation that you will read. You want to know my opinion on the best Bible? There are all kinds of Bible translations. The Bible was originally written in three ancient languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Any of you fluent in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, even one of them? No, none of us. So all of us are going to use a translation of some sort. Do you want to know? I want to give you an authoritative word here. Doesn't matter what church you attend regularly, I'm going to give you an authoritative word. Do you know what the best Bible translation is? Get your pen ready. I'm going to tell you. The one you will read. The one you will read. The best Bible translation is the one that you will read. Language changes over time. That's why there are multiple translations, dozens of good English translations in print or online. Find one. Choose a Bible that you will read. Number two, choose a time and a place and a plan to study. For everything else in your life, there is consistency. If you do it regularly and you do it well, you always do, because you have a plan and a time and a place. Let me ask you this, just a basic hygiene question. Do you brush your teeth every day? I mean, you may not want to answer that if the answer is no. I got some dentists in the house. But I bet when it's time, do you brush your teeth at the same time every day? Yeah. Do you brush your teeth? Answer me this question. Do you brush your teeth in the same place every day? No, you don't walk around with a toothbrush just laying on your coffee table or sitting in the console of your truck thinking, oh yeah, if I see that toothbrush, I'm going to brush my teeth today. That's gross. If you do that, stop it. If you do that, stop it. Okay? You have a time. You have a routine for the way that happens. So figure out a consistent time and place. It's got to be the morning for me. It's got to be the morning for me, because sometimes I wake up and the devil's already right there trying to distract me and discourage me. So I need to get back at him as quick as I can first thing in the morning to get God's word planted in my heart. What does the Bible says? Hide God's word in your heart so that you can do all things through Christ and conquer the day. No, so that I won't sin against God. That's my fear. I want to get God's word in my heart so I won't go off track just like three steps out of my bed before I even get to my toothbrush, right? A consistent place, a plan. Get rid of the, you know, for me, I fight with my dumb phone. I mean, it's a smartphone, but it makes me dumb. I don't know why I call it. So I want to have my phone somewhere else. Have my desk clear, have my Bible there. For me, I want a notebook and I want a pen. Because I expect God's going to tell me something that's important, and I want to write it down. My dad used to fuss with me. He'd say, oh, I need you to do this and this and this. And I was like, Daddy, let me write that down. And he said, son, if it was important, you would remember. And my dad, bless his heart, my brain just didn't work that way. If it was important to me, I needed to write it down. This is how it works in my house. If Patty says, stop by the store and get some eggs, I'm good with eggs, okay? But if she says, oh, and get milk and bread and butter, and if it gets more than like three things, I got to write it down. Or I'll come home with three things, but it won't be the right three things. So y'all, I try to listen to Jesus. This is going to get me in trouble. I try to listen to Jesus at least as good as I listen to my wife. Which means I'm going to write it down. I want to write it down. Get you a notebook, whether it's a $20 fancy leather-bound journal or if it's the $1.99 dollar store composition notebook. Write a place. Get a place. Get a pen. Get a Bible. Get something to write on and write with. Because if Jesus is speaking it, it's important enough. It's important enough for you to write it down. When you come to the Scripture, pray. David writes this in the Psalm. He says, open my eyes, Psalm 119. He says, open my eyes so that I may see wondrous things from your law. That's a great prayer when you open the Bible. That's a great prayer when you sit down in the pew to hear a sermon. That's a great prayer if you want to listen to Him. Open my eyes. Open my eyes so I may see wondrous things from your instruction. And here's how. I'm going to give you, maybe you've got a pen, you've at least got that bulletin card or a notebook from the pew. If you don't know how to have a time of reading and studying God's Word, I'm fixing to give it to you. I'm fixing to give it to you like a few key points. And if you can do this, if you follow this, I'm going to lay out something here. It's not original to me. God's been speaking to people for like hundreds and hundreds of years, and none of them ever came to Isle of Hope Baptist or to Good Shepherd Savannah. Okay, so it's not just for us. This is tried and true and consistent. It's tried and true and consistent. But I will tell you this, I promise this. If you'll write down these four steps, and if you'll try it out for a week, I would need to talk to my board about a money-back guarantee. Like if you put anything in the offering plate and God's not speaking to you by next week, then we'll give you the check back or something like that. I don't know. That may be beyond my ability to promise. And that's how the world makes promises and backs up their guarantee. I don't know what the equivalent of that is in church speak. But y'all, I guarantee not because of your ability or mine, but because of the consistency of God's Word and because of the ongoing presence of His Spirit. This is in my notes for later, but I'll say it now. The Bible is the only book. The Bible is the only thing you will ever read that regardless of when you pick it up, the author is right there with you, fully present and available to you. All right, have you ever thought about that before? You know, you get a letter in the mail from a relative, and you know the relative, and so you got a relation, but they're not like right there with you. You pick up something years later, Yeah, the Bible is the only book. It's the only thing that you will ever read where the author is with you, available to you, fully focused on you, fully present with you. Why would we not read that? So that's where my guarantee is, and not in method, not in you or not in me. But write this down. Here's your four steps. It's going to be four, so you know how to do it. And it's going to spell something, so you just wait. The letter H, number one, the letter H, highlight. Highlight. And I don't mean like a yellow highlighter. I mean you read what you're going to read, and then you get your pen out and write, highlight. You're reading with purpose. Over the course of your reading, whether it's one verse or two verses or a paragraph or a chapter, there's going to be something that God's going to speak out of. Something's going to stand out to you. Something's going to land on your heart or spark something in your mind. So after reading your passage of Scripture, highlight, rewrite the verses that are beginning to speak to you. You might want to add the name of the book. If we were doing this for Matthew, we'd write Matthew 17, 1 through 5. And then we'd write this one verse. Maybe it was that verse, that last verse. Listen to Him. Maybe that's the highlight verse for today. Matthew 17, 5. Listen to Him. If you've got a Bible that has a title, some Bibles have titles over every chapter or over every section. Those are human-made, but they're human helps. Maybe you need a title. This is the Transfiguration. That's what this is when Jesus shines like the sun, the Transfiguration. Listen to Him. Highlight it. Write it in that notebook. Matthew 17, 5. That way you'll know to come back to it some other time. Number one, highlight. Number two, it's the letter E. Explain. Explain. After you've written your highlight verse, explain. You want to explain what that verse means. There's some simple questions you can ask yourself. And you can ask the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can understand the meaning of that verse or that passage. Here's some questions. Why was this written? Why was this written? Here's how I would answer that from Matthew 17, 5. We listen to a lot of things. We listen to the news and the weather report and the sports scores, and we listen to our spouses and our children, and we listen to our employers, and we listen to the people that we're responsible for and to. And we listen to a lot of things, and it's easy to get distracted. Why was this written? Keeps the main thing, right? Why was this written? To whom was it written? You may have a study Bible that has some notes at the bottom or the introduction to the Gospel of Matthew. You may know that Matthew wrote this to get an account of the life of Jesus, and Matthew specifically wrote so that we would understand how the life of Jesus fulfills everything that came before it in the Old Testament. That may be why Matthew records this about the Elijah and Moses, because they're the key figures in the Old Testament. So this sets up how Jesus fulfills everything. Jesus is not new. He's been working all along. Explain. Listen to Him. So this is the peak. It's the pinnacle. How does it fit with the verses before or after? Why does the Holy Spirit highlight this? What does He intend to communicate through this? Or these simple questions. These are the ones we use in our weekly study group. What does this verse say about God? What does this verse say about me? And what does this verse say about the relationship between God and me? When you ask and begin to answer these kind of questions, you're beginning the process of making specific and personal what God has spoken that is universal and for everyone. But what's even more important is that you're engaging God's Word. You're not letting it lay dead on the page. or let the word simply float through the air. You're grabbing onto it. And you're holding it. You know, you walk by, you go in the grocery store and walk by that cabinet over in the bakery and the deli, and you see all kind of things, but you walk past them, you won't know, you'll neither know the flavor, nor will you gain any nourishment just by standing and looking at them. But if you open it up and reach in there, pay for it. Don't just take it and start eating. That's embarrassing for everybody. But if you eat that, you'll savor the taste and it will nourish your body and strengthen you. You get the Bible. Don't just look at it behind glass. But you pluck the word out and you hold on to it and you chew on it for a minute. You're really engaging and you'll draw strength and nourishment as you wrestle with God about the meaning. So hear and then explain. And then here's number three, apply. You know I'm getting close to the end of the message, right? Because it's number three, and I told you it was four. Number three, application. Application. Everything that you've done so far just builds to this because you want to know what it means so that you can know what it means for you. You want to know what it means so that you know what it means for you. There's some questions you could ask to uncover the significance of these verses to you personally. Questions like, how does this help me today? What does this mean today? It might have meant something in the first century when it was written. What does it mean now to me? What would the application, how would my life look different if I took this verse seriously and applied its teaching to my life? What does it mean to me? What is God saying to me? These questions help us bridge the gap between the ancient world and the world today, and they provide a way for God to speak to you from that specific passage or verse. Finally, number four, we're going to land the plane. Respond. Respond. This is the tough one because a lot of people who do study the Bible only do H-E-A. They only hear. They don't hear. H-E-A. Because they get a good feeling and a good idea, but then respond means what is it really going to do for you? What is your response to this? You could write a call to action. You could describe how you would be different because of what God said to you in His Word. You could indicate what you're going to do that day. Let's be specific. What are you going to do that day because of what you've learned? Maybe your response is a prayer asking God to make you more loving or to increase your desire to give generously. To keep in mind that this response is a response to what you've read, not some generic oughta, shoulda, musta, gotta, but an invitation that God has laid before you and you want to respond to the invitation. Highlight, explain, apply, respond. God does not want you to sit back and wait for Him to just drop a nugget of truth in your lap. He wants you to seek and work and pursue Him actively. Matthew 7:7 says, "Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you." Friends, God's speaking to us in the Scriptures. He's spoken to us through Jesus. He speaks to us now by His Spirit, enlivening the Scriptures. And our ability to listen to Him is what distinguishes, it's what distinguishes us from all the other people in the world. It's not what we do on a Sunday morning. It's whether we listen to Him. I've said it already. The Bible is the only thing you'll ever read where the author is present to you, still speaking to you, fully available to you. Listen to Him. The Bible is also the only thing you'll ever read where the author gave His life for you. The only thing that you'll ever read where the author gave His life for you. Because we know that Jesus is the culmination. He's not only the culmination of the Father's speaking to us, He is the culmination of the Father's love for us. So listen to him. Listen to him. He is the clutch player. But this could be your clutch moment. Beginning of your clutch year. Are you going to listen to him? I want to invite you to the Lord's table, not to my table or the Good Shepherd table or the Isle of Hope Baptist table. This is the Lord, the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he invites you to remember, where he invites you to remember that he has indeed come and shown his love for you. And this is a moment for you to listen to him. It's a moment for you to listen to him. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts to go to the table. Father, we love you and we continue to offer ourselves for you, knowing that you have offered yourself. You have offered your Son to us. Give us the grace to listen to him, to hear him, to obey him. In Jesus' name, amen.